Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had a tremendous week this week. We have been battling, fighting, scratching, clawing, you name it, we have been doing it this week. We want to show the world that if you take a stand, you're able to do some very, very important things. And I tell you, this is an opportunity. That's what I look at. But let's get back to Benton Harbor, Michigan, the city of no return. It says here, when democracy becomes disposable, here in the city of Benton Harbor, the very first city in the whole United States that had an emergency financial manager who terminated the mayor here and all the commissioners. There was an article last week in New York Times slamming the residents of Benton Harbor, trying to make believe that Whirlpool was wonderful. We are boycotting Whirlpool. Matter of fact, they got a triple minus or negative credit rate. They are just one step from being junk stock. And we have continued to apply the pressure. They have over the city of Benton Harbor. And I tell you, they have paid not one single dime tax here. People always say we want a big corporation to come here so they can pay taxes, but Whirlpool have not paid any money here since 1990. Matter of fact, they've been sponging off the people here, a city that's $5 million in the red. Just recently, they have asked for $50 million in tax breaks, $50 million, or they say they're going to leave. My thing is, let me help you pack up so you can get out of here. But I'm going to read this little short thing about when democracy becomes disposable, then we'll listen to a little Martin Luther King. It says, in Benton Harbor, a unionized manufacturing workforce has been cast aside in the presence of nearly 10,000 people, overwhelmingly poor, which includes me, and black, are potential obstacles to the corporations like Whirlpool in planning a plan for redevelopment in the area. Benton Harbor has been rendered utterly powerless. Matter of fact, we have no power. The elected officials are no longer elected officials. Thanks to Public Act 4. Public Act 4 is the law that strips all the commissioners and the mayor of all his power. But on that note, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Yes. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its now having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the crevaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. And before we bring on our first guest, Miss Benjamin, which will be followed by Leonard himself, I want to wish everybody a Merry, Merry Christmas. And I know my good friend Ralph is on the line. But, Ralph, we're going to take it in order a little bit today, and let's see what we can do. Let's have Miss Benjamin. Are you there?
Yes.
This is the Reverend Edward Pinckney Show. How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I'm not Miss Benjamin. I'm the one that she was going to take. I'm the daughter. I'm the one.
Okay,
that
you're the daughter.
Yes, sir.
And your name is?
Ronette Goosby.
Okay, Goosby. Okay. All
yes.
Right.
How you doing?
I'm doing
great. Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes. We having the time of our life today. Time is going so fast. I can't imagine that, you know, that this is already 5 o'clock and it's showtime already. I've been running. I've been busy. I've been doing everything. But let me wish you a Merry Christmas. But now, why don't you tell me a little bit about your story and let the world know who you are, okay? Go right ahead.
Okay. I'm Ronette Goosby. I'm a mother of 5 sons, 3.
Mm-hmm.
The last 3 I had, they was diagnosed being mentally ill, ADHD, ADD, and EBD. And I have 2 right now that is incarcerated. I've went everywhere trying to get help for them. They violated their civil liberties, their mental act, their American Mental Act rights, their constitutional rights. They didn't evaluate them. One was falsely accused. He didn't understand the charges. I was locked up in the courtroom, the judge stood me up and asked who was the parent of this child. I was upset. I didn't want to stand. My mom made me stand up, and when I stood up, the judge told me I ought to be ashamed of myself for not loving my son and not being a good parent. I told him, I said, sir, you don't understand. You're wrong. I love my son. He said, 15 days.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. And he said, 10 days, and I didn't understand why I was being arrested in the courtroom. My son was already being falsely accused of something. He didn't understand that they made a mistake, and all I was trying to do was talk to my son. At that time, they denied that, and I was locked up. He held me in there for he told me to apologize right then. I didn't feel like I had to apologize. So he said 5 more days, so that's 15 days. But he kept me in there like 5 hours, and when I got out, he said, you ready to apologize? I said, I do whatever I have to do to go home, you know, and I just didn't feel like I owed him an apology. He was wrong for standing me up and saying that to me, not knowing that he should have been reading the papers. He should have been a judge and asked for a psychological evaluation on my son. He should have did what he was supposed to do as a judge, not try to down, you know, make me feel lesser than I already did. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken with lawyers about my situation. They say I had a case, but I don't have $10,000. I'm in a situation.
Wait. They
now
want you to put up the $10,000 first?
Yes. And
what
I know
kind of
I
lawyer
have
is
a
that?
Case. I don't know. I spoke with several of them. They talking about a habeas corpus, and he was falsely accused. A child molestation.
Oh, you're talking about for your son, not for yourself.
Yes, not for myself.
Okay, well, then I understand now.
I was let go. But I spoke with NAACP. They like they wanted to help, but they didn't never come through. I gave them important papers. I went to the law library. I wrote down case numbers, versus, you know, the court codes or the laws. So I've done my homework. I just don't have money. Like right now, I went from 3 checks, 3 SSI disability checks to 2 checks to 1 check to no check. So I'm staying with someone right now. I don't have money to pay them. I don't have money to send my son. I don't have money to talk to him. One of them being molested in jail. He done been hit in the head with a pipe recently. And I can't help them, and that's a hurting thing because I know that they don't understand their mental, and I know the emotions that they probably going through, and I hear it when they call me, and it's a hurting thing to know that all these people out here that can do something about people that's mental, they will not help. And it's a hurting thing. And I'm on probation. I can't pay my probation off. And I didn't go because I know that they was going to lock me up. I don't have the money. I don't have the money. And that's what it's about. It's a money thing. And I can't see my kids.
So you got 2 sons that's locked up. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And what's the charges?
The one that's in Autry State Prison, he's in there currently serving time for child molestation, which is not child molestation. He was in the room by himself watching a DVD, and his little stepbrother came in his first time over at his daddy's house. The daddy left him there with the little boy. He was 7 years old at the time, and he lied, and I know he lied. The daddy was on the phone, didn't know that he didn't hang the phone up, and I heard what he said. And he forced that little boy to say that about my son. My son did not touch him. But the way that the court did it, they made him plead guilty, and it wasn't for touching the boy. It was just for watching the DVD, but they still called it child molestation and gave him 5 years.
5 years?
That was wrong. Yes, sir.
Wow. And you have talked to an attorney already, and what are they saying?
They said that I had a case where they needed $10,000.
How long he been in there already?
He's been in there almost 4 years now.
4 years. When he get out, he's going to have to register as a sex offender?
Yes, he is, and that's another thing. That's why I was trying to really get some help, somebody to help me really, really about this, because it's a hurting thing when you already, your daddy done falsely accuse you, and then they believe in it, and you done had to deal through this in jail, going through what you're going through, and he has a mind of a, he's MID, it's mild intellectual deficiency, which he's not of his age. He's done had to fight grown men, and done had stitches and everything, and I you know, complained to me.
Mm-hmm.
He complained to me several times about he couldn't use the bathroom, and they didn't take him to a doctor or anything. So, you know, it's just a hurting thing. I mean, I can't do nothing but pray and tell him to pray, you know. And justice is not just, it's unfair.
Yes, absolutely. Ms. Goosey, here's my plan. Why don't you get my phone number?
Okay.
My phone. I think you may already have my phone number. Why don't you call me after the show? Call me about.
Okay.
I would say about 7:30.
About 7:30.
Yeah. And I got some ideas of what we may be able to do.
Okay.
All right. Don't forget, but don't hang up. I want you to stay on the show.
I'm gonna call you back from another number because I'm using somebody's phone. And
okay.
I'm gonna call you back. I call you
okay.
back. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Don't hang up, though. Bye. Stay on the line. Leonard, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Leonard, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing better than the lady is, listening to her
story. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me wish you a Merry Christmas, Leonard.
Thank you, sir. Same to you. But, you know, before we go on, I just wanted to say something that in terms of ADHD and a lot of these diseases that disproportionately are labeled on people of color in this country.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it comes from a poor diet. A lot of it comes from no timely education. A lot of it comes from allowing things that could be dealt with in a timely manner to just fester and go untreated. Because in this country, which is still more segregated than we were pre-Brown versus Board of Education, we have an investment in the black man not achieving. Because if the black man achieves, then we got to look at 400 years of incredibly awful history.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we can use our education system to ensure that it's almost impossible to get an education, then people of color can fulfill the negative stereotypes. In the Los Angeles Unified School District, we have 76% of our population is Latino. 43 years ago, those kids went out on, they walked out of the schools because they said, we're not getting an education.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's 43 years later. The schools, if you can believe this, are worse than ever. Roosevelt has a 3% A through G prepared college, prepared high school graduation class. I am presently at war with the Los Angeles Unified School District because I had the audacity of reporting that they were graduating kids with second grade reading abilities. Now imagine a kid who doesn't know his times tables getting a passing grade in algebra. He's going to carry the weight for that when he gets out there in the world. But, you know, what is going on is LAUSD does not change, and it is very typical of predominantly inner city, mostly people of color school districts, because what's going on in this country is the whites have escaped to the suburbs. And they have left the inner city to bad school districts, and these school districts have become more child care than they have become serious education. My students say to me that I am the first teacher who ever told them that they had to do something more than copy, that they actually had to learn it.
Wow.
I had kids in my class. I had one woman in particular. She had a baby when she was 14. She had another when she was 18. She, you know, is a very intelligent young woman. The problem is she's never had timely education. Everything I asked her to do in terms of school that I showed her how to do, she could do. And you just couldn't who this person would have been if she had a decent education. So let's look at what, for a moment, if you'll bear with me, as to what LAUSD is doing. There's, let's call it charter fraud. Only 17% of charter schools do better, 47% do worse, or do the same, and 36% do worse. In New York City in 1906, as Diane Ravitch pointed out in her book, they had small charter-like schools that were so corrupt they had to create the New York City Public School District. The same thing took place in 1903, so here we are 105 years later, we're marching backwards. They have things called public school choice. I went to law school and I was a professor of law, and I read the documents, which is what most people don't do. In the public school choice, they're looking to bring parents into this as stakeholders. But if you read the document, it says the principal of the school has an absolute control and veto over anything that goes on. They don't have to listen to the parents, and as a matter of fact, at Roosevelt High School, what they're doing when the parents don't want to go along with what's going on, they're threatening them with citations of trespass and also threatening them, because we have approximately 30% of our school district is undocumented, that if they don't go along with what's going on, they will report them to the Immigration and Naturalization Service. The word that comes out mostly when I talk to people around the country, in New York, in D.C., in Atlanta, it's come out now in some of the smaller cities in Atlanta that they're fixing assessments, is the word mafia. That's what's running your school district. It's about money, because I'll give you an example.
Let me cut in sure. Just on that. Are you saying that these charter schools are ran by the mafia?
No, I'm saying the charter schools are actually run by hedge funds.
Okay.
But it's a mafia to the extent that they're doing everything. I mean, as Vito Corleone said, it's just business. And I'll give you an example of what I mean by mafia. You remember when Robert Kennedy was assassinated at the Ambassador Hotel?
Absolutely.
That was a beautiful hotel built in the 1920s, an example of our history. And I gave them a proposal to use that school as a lycée international, because I lived in France for 7 years, and we had 12 national sections at our French lycée, where for 2 half-days a week, kids would learn their native language from the country that they were from and native institutions. The other 4 days a week, it was a regular school. Imagine Los Angeles, where you had a Korean section, a Persian section, several Latino sections, where kids could become fluent in their native language or the native language of their country of origin, where their parents are from. And then also imagine, because what the French did was they required that 50% of every section be French, and in this case it would be Americans. So imagine in Los Angeles, if African-American youth for 2 half-days a week became fluent in Korean or fluent in Spanish. When you learn a person's language and you learn their culture, you walk a mile in their shoes. There are things that you express that you understand, and I don't think you would be playing off minorities against each other. What they ultimately did, they built a Taj Mahal. They tore down the old Ambassador Hotel. The new school has, it cost them $452 million to build. It has talking benches, and they laid off a third of the teachers. What they're doing, you understand why I call it a mafia? Because it's about making
exactly
money.
What's wrong with this?
Right. I taught at a school called Central High School. We had $100,000 worth of geometry books. There was not one kid in our school that was at basic in math. And yet, if you go to my website, I put out a blog called PerDaily, PerDaily.com. And look in the archive in November, you'll see an interview with a young man who is appropriately named Javier de Los Angeles. And Javier talks about the fact that he was passed in algebra because he didn't give the teacher a hard time. When I taught at Dorsey High School, I remember having a discussion with my black principal where she looked at me and she said, "Mr. Eisenberg, this is a black school." And I said, "Excuse me." In other words, a black school is an excuse for kids to underachieve. And if you don't raise the bar for kids, you know, I have my issues with the Muslims, but the Muslims were in the Bronx for 10 years before the white folks realized that they were there, and they turned out an awful lot of doctors, an awful lot of lawyers, and people finally got educated.
Mm-hmm.
So, and another friend of mine said to me, Dr. Michael Wells, Michael said to me, he said, you know, he said, before integration, black schools were not as bad as they are now. And, you know, he's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we're busing kids out to a school like Palisades High School on the west side of Los Angeles to promptly resegregate them because the kids come from such poor schools, they can't compete. And so what you're doing is you're destroying children's conception of who they are. So let me give you a positive example, because on Christmas, I don't want it to be gloom and doom, because then people say, oh, it can't work. There's a guy named Jeffrey Canada, the Harlem Children's Zone, and other people have done it, where Jeffrey, you know, was raised in the Bronx, and he went to a predominantly white school in the northeast part of the United States. I think it was Maine. And he was blown away by the fact how white people raise their kids, because it was nothing like the way he was raised with a single mother head of household. And unlike most people who get the hell out of the ghetto, he went back. And he went and he worked in Harlem. And for 6 years, he failed miserably. And he was the kind of guy who just didn't give it up. And he got a doctorate from Harvard. He's one of the 3% of any population that figure it out on them, on their own. If nobody's rocking them, they rock themselves. And what he did was he started a program where he started dealing with women as soon as they got pregnant, made sure that they could have the greatest genetic material in the world, but if they were eating sugar, salt, and fat instead of protein, they weren't going to live up to, the kids weren't going to live up to their genetic potential. Once the kids were born, he did a thing called baby college. And in baby college, he said, look, he said, you got to read to your kids. Can't hit kids. You've got to read to them. You've got to take them places. The brain, in terms of neurobiology, is a ganglia, and if it's not stimulated, it will die. So, and one of the things that made him do this is that he looked at schools in New York, and he found that predominantly children of color arrived at kindergarten having heard 3 million less words than their more affluent counterparts. Well, Jeffrey's been doing it for 10 years now, and his kids are testing at a level of kids in Westchester County. Why? Because he doesn't back down. He doesn't accept, you know, if a kid is not doing well, you don't socially promote them in the next grade. You deal as early as possible with what's going around, and you can change it. But what LAUSD has done, what New York City did, were for 7 years they cheated on the assessments and lied to people so that 7 years later, black and Latino students were actually doing worse off. Now, why does this work? Because nobody, and this isn't just white folks, this is a lot of the black folks, a lot of the black administrators, they have no expectation that children of color can learn. Now, I got spoiled. I worked for 7 years at the university in France, and my best students were sub-Saharan African. They spoke the best French. They came from the strongest families. And I go, wait a minute, same gene pool, high achievement, what's the difference? And the difference is, if you have no expectation that kids aren't going to do well, they're not going to do well. And if you do, you know, you hold the bar high and you deal with the deficits that the kids have. Now, last thing, I know I've been going on a long time, but, you know, you put a kid in where he starts behind the eight ball because he's 3 million words behind, and then he's got grade-level standards, and he doesn't really figure those out because he doesn't have the prerequisites, so they keep moving him through. By the time this kid gets to middle school, he doesn't have the foundational skills, and worse than that, he's got a single-subject credential teacher without the skill set to deal with the kid's deficits. And to make matters worse, he's going through puberty, or she's going through puberty.
Mm.
So what happens is, kids going through puberty have very sensitive egos, and as it should be. You want to look in the mirror and say, hey, there's God's gift. And these kids don't feel like they're God's gift because they're going into a classroom and being humiliated by being asked to do things that they can't do. So
wow.
they start tearing up the classroom. And then by tearing up the classroom, they either get thrown out of school, or if the district is trying to keep average daily attendance money, which is it gets for warm butts in a seat, it allows the kids to tear up the classroom. So even if the other kids in the class want to learn, the teacher can't teach. And I had this situation in several schools. The administration...
Hey, Leonard, you got about 1 minute, and then I'm going to bring on Ralph Porter. He's a former New York teacher. And to join our conversation, but I want you to say whatever you want to say. You got about 1 minute, then I got to bring him on. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, that should work just fine, because what happens is these kids wind up either dropping out of school about 50%, or we're losing over 50% between the 9th and the 12th grade. Where do they go? Juvenile justice, which is a joke. $78,000 a year to keep a kid in juvenile justice. The anti-immigrant law in Arizona that we've all heard about was written by the largest prison corporation. So first we screw people out of an education, and then we lock them up for a prison industrial complex. This has got to come to an end, because the rest of the world is going to kick our butts. The Chinese are training 150 million of their people to be fluent in English. We cannot afford to dumb down America, because what's at stake is our democracy. And if we don't want a democracy, the Irish came here, they had no problem. There were settlement houses, kids who couldn't go home and get stuff. They couldn't do their homework. They got it at a settlement house. We need to have our schools have to have nutritious food brought to the school, markets 3 days a week where you educate people as to what is good food and what isn't. So thank you very much for allowing me to rant, Reverend. I appreciate it.
Believe me, it's my pleasure. I know you got a lot to say, but here's what I'm going to do. I want you to stay on. I'm going to give you a few minutes at the end of the show, but I want to bring on my dear friend, a person who I truly love. And first of all, Ralph, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, you and Lynn. And I wish Lynn was here with us. But Ralph Porter, are you there?
I am there, Reverend Pinkney. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes, I want to first salute you for doing the job that must be done with our people. That is the job of education. The people you bring on to speak and yourself are an education every week. When you speak of economic sanctions and how they work and how you've spearheaded the fight against Whirlpool, that's an education that we need. When you bring on people who talk about the economic slavery we are involved in through law, traffic violations, unjust court decisions, they all portray the powerlessness of our people. And the answer is to be organized, as you are doing. And you are organizing us into a unit that can show political power. And the basic thing that we must do with your last guest is to talk about the education and the miseducation of our people, the money that is involved in that. Yes, it's a mafia. They don't call them mafioso. But if you look and see the subprime criminal document that they foisted upon people to steal our past, our present, and our economic future, you realize they are worse than mafioso. And I say worse than mafioso because if you owe the mafia money, or if they want to take something from you, they break your leg. They don't take the money that you have already earned, your present money, or your future economic status. So, Reverend, you know, we have to understand that the issues are political power. For example, the Democratic Party has been in charge of the inner cities for 50 to 60 years, before the Civil Rights Movement, during, and after. And how is it that our children aren't educated? And as a teacher, as a person of conscience, as a person who has expertise in education, I say to you, every child who is intended to be educated gets an education. And the converse is also true, as your past guest just pointed out. There is no intention of our children being educated. I'm going to give you one last example for stepping off. I have a dear friend and companion, Betty Davis, who worked up from a elementary school teacher right into principalship, and she had every degree known to man, woman, or child. So they couldn't do anything with her, and she was always successful in elementary school, junior high school, every school she went to improved. And her final achievement was to change a slave neighbor, slave owner's name, Alexander Hamilton, to Paul Robeson, and in 4 years had 95% graduation and 87% college. Guess what they did? They transferred her. Now,
wow.
The message doesn't get any clearer than that. They said you cannot have a school that good in a neighborhood next to a black project. So you see, it goes on and on. What is the difference between us and other people? We have to have economic power, and we have to develop the political will to educate our own children. Because cats don't educate mice, they eat them. And we are being eaten up, and we must recognize that. We must recognize, as you have recognized out in Benton Harbor, those who are supposedly representing the community represent world. And we can put that on a national level. So, Reverend, if I have one more minute, I'd like to talk about Lynn Stewart and A Christmas Story.
You go right ahead.
Lynn Stewart, the lawyer of the people, is presently in jail, and I spoke to her this morning. And she said to me, I feel so sad, not for myself, but for the other women in prison who have no one to write to, who are unjustly put in prison, are in prison because they didn't have a lawyer to represent them. And we talked about Dickens and the words that were in the Christmas Carol about, you know, what we are to do. Mankind is my business, as Marley says to Scrooge, and when we take that position, we can expect to be hurt until we are able to organize those around us to understand that position. So, Reverend, you know, like we listen to all of these great words. You are doing something about it. I am beside you. I am with you, and I hope that Queen Mother Moore's words will be extended to everyone. Control the institutions in your community, or you are lost. Community control of education means to develop our sense of community, and you are developing our sense of community. I thank you. I thank you. I salute you, and I will not take any more of your time. Thank you again, Reverend.
And Reverend, thank you very much just for being on the show. But let me tell you exactly what's happening here with our school system here in the city of Benton Harbor. We have a high school here that Whirlpool wants because it's right on the lake. And what they're trying to do now.
Tell that story.
Yes, and here's what they're trying to do. Now, the school system itself, we have more charter schools here in the city of Benton Harbor than we do public schools. So what they're going to do now, they're going to merge the 7th and 8th graders into the same building with the high school students. They can't control these 7th and 8th graders. They can't control these high schoolers. But yet and still, what they're trying to do now, they're going to put them all in the same building. And then pretty soon you're going to have from 1 to 8, and then you're going to have from 9 to 12 in the same building. And then what they're going to do, they're going to build a new high school out on this contaminated land. They're going to terminate, well, they terminated 20 teachers on Wednesday. They're going to terminate another 20 on the 15th of January. And then here's what they're going to do. They are slowly but surely, they're saying that we're $18 million in the red, which isn't a whole lot now. But the point is, what they're saying is that we have to dissolve the public school system. See, they attempted to do it last year until we had that protest against Governor Snyder on at the Blossom Town Parade. But the point is, we have to show these people. We got to stop saying what we need to do and do it. See, all this talk, they know that we are full of talk. See, what I'm trying to do is combine the whole country, get everybody on the same page so we can deal with the issues together. Your problem is my problem. My problem is your problem, whether you like it or not. So listen, why don't we do this? Why don't we start making plans? Because here's the thing. Occupy, the PGA is coming here.
Right.
And you're going to have the 1% here. They're going to be here whether we like it or not.
Yes.
They're going to be cool. They're going to have their armed forces here. They're going to have everything. But I already have worked everything out to make sure that we get the message across the country. See, remember last week I was talking about the article from the New York Times,
yes.
How horrible it was. I also put a few comments on his blog, letting him know that I was very displeased with what he said. And then somebody else wrote an article. I mean, not only did they write an article, they slammed the New York Times. And people were slamming them because now people are beginning to see what I'm saying.
Right on.
And anything I say, I can back it up. I got evidence to support whatever I say. That's what make me. That's what make Whirlpool mad at me, the court system mad at me, the school system mad at me. But I care less. It's all about the people. But on that note, I got to bring on Mary. Mary, are you here?
Hello, Reverend Pinkney. Merry Christmas.
Hey, how you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me on, Reverend Pinkney. I just have two things. I don't know if Ms. Goolsby was able to get through about her.
She did. She got through.
In Georgia. She did. Very good. Because, as you know, she's suffering, and she needs help getting to see her mentally ill young men who are suffering in behind bars in Georgia. And we have across the country 1.25 million mentally ill people in prison. They became the first. They were the seed for the private prison industry. Ronald Reagan, I believe, is the one who turned out the mental institutions, and most of those people and all the ones after them, which happened about 40 years ago, are either in jail or subject to going to jail for mental illness in order to benefit the private prison industry. So we're talking about millions of families right now who are impacted by the decision to punish rather than treat mental illness.
Education.
And we're impacted by it in our, I'm sorry?
I said
go ahead.
Educate.
Are you there?
Educate.
Okay.
Continue educating the people.
Yes, educating the people. It's very hard to do because I'm censored, but I try my best to educate the people. Secondly, I want to tell the people, please, about the NDAA. That's the National Defense Authorization Act. The National Defense Authorization Act. We talked the last couple of weeks about Senate Bill 1867. Well, it passed by 93 senators. 93 of those senators decided that Americans should be subject to indefinite military detention without any charges being levied against you. So if you don't have any charges, you've got no option to go to court to fight charges, because they're just going to go to snatching up people like they did from your African villages and putting you in military detention without any charges against you. And this is against the Bill of Rights. It's against the Constitution. But it passed Senate by 93 people. And it also passed the House of Representatives. So now it's on the president's desk. It's before President Obama. And he has until, the reports that I read say he has until midnight tomorrow to veto the bill. If he does not veto the NDAA, that's the National Defense Authorization Act, we have all just become slaves. You can look online for my article. It's called NDAA. Back to Slavery in USA. NDAA. Back to Slavery in USA. And my final point, Reverend, is that I published an article today. It's called Reverend Pinkney, the People's Pastor for Justice.
All right, I like that.
Reverend Pinkney, the People's Pastor for Justice. You know, we have a lot of ministers who are not like you and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. They talk about the Acts of the Apostles, and they talk about the great acts of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they talk about the disciples and the great acts that they did for human rights. These people, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his apostles and prophets, they fed the people. They housed the people. They were concerned with the needs, the practical needs of the people. But our ministers want to talk about what they did instead of addressing the needs of the people around them. They don't want to talk about homelessness, foreclosures, miseducation. They don't want to even address Senate Bill 1867 and the National Security Act, the Patriots Act. They don't want to talk about people going to jail for prison profits. So they want to talk about safe subjects, things that happened thousands of years ago, instead of places like Benton Harbor being subjected to, let's face it, slavery today. So Reverend Pinckney addresses these issues not just on Sunday. He's in the courts through the week trying to help people and seeing what's going on. He's preaching. He's not preaching the gospel. He's living the gospel. And I ask you to go to his website at Banco, B-A-N-C-H-O. That's B-H Banco. Just type Reverend Pinckney, Mary Neal. You'll find your way there. And please, he has a place for you to make your deposits. A lot of people have left church. A lot of people have left because they relocated recently and haven't found a new church home. And other people have left church because they are just frankly disgusted. Whatever your reason, you still believe in God. I tell you something, we need God now more than ever. And you need to be paying your tithes and offerings. Consider making offerings if you already have a church. And consider making Reverend Pinckney your minister if you have not got one, because we need ministers such as Reverend Pinckney. So just look online for Reverend Pinckney, the People's Pastor for Justice.
Amen.
And I want you to also look up Mary Neal, N-D-A-A. I'm putting information out there because unless President Obama vetoes that bill before midnight tomorrow, according to the information I have, America is back to slavery. All races.
Mm.
You will
Amen.
Not
hey,
be
listen,
able
Mary,
to.
Mary, I want to,
yes.
First of all, wish you a Merry Christmas. And,
thank you.
And I appreciate your thought. I appreciate what you're doing. But look, I'm going to give you a few minutes at the end of the show so you can say something, but I got to bring on Roz right now. Roz, are you there? I think I may have lost Roz. I think I may have lost her, unfortunately, but the show still must go on. I'm here to tell folks that we have an opportunity now that we never had before. We have an opportunity to use the Internet. Even if they block it, we still be able to use it to connect with each other, to take this thing to a whole different level. And this is something we can do. But listen, Leonard, you got about 3 minutes to say whatever you want to say. Go right ahead.
Okay, what I'd like to say is, you know, I've listened to a lot of people, including myself, bitching about what's going on. And my attitude now, as I approach my 65th birthday, is if what we say or do can be ignored with impunity, it ain't worth doing. So I would suggest in Benton Harbor, as I am suggesting in Los Angeles, that you boycott public education. Because they get paid for warm butts sitting in a seat. And if those butts
yes.
aren't sitting in the seat, they don't get paid. And what I would suggest is that teachers can be intimidated, but if you go ahead and use retired teachers to reconstitute the classes so that what will be able to happen is the kids' parents have a justifiable concern. They don't want the kids on the street. But if they're in a church with a retired teacher learning English, learning social studies, they might even be more motivated. But it's about money. It's nothing personal. So I would suggest, you know, for your readers or your listeners, if you want to contact me at perdaily.com, if you want to contact Karen Horwitz at NAPTA, the National Association to Prevent Teacher Abuse. The Los Angeles Unified School District had 43,000 teachers last year. It's got 35,000 now. They're
wow.
just firing. They're firing people. They're getting rid of them because the plan is to privatize public education. Think credit default swap subprime. It is worth somewhere between $250 and $370 billion a year if they can privatize it. And you get a twofer. What you get is a dumbed down public, so that the kids that are getting out of school with nothing to do join the military, get paid a bonus of $10,000, and then they get to go kill other people of color in countries that they can't find on the map. So rather than get angry about it, there's a Sicilian proverb that says, revenge is a dish best served cold. And coldly, we need to sit down, we need to plan the boycott, we need to make it, because if we're the 99%, and we saw this in Tahrir Square with 400,000 people showing up, if we're going to let ourselves be controlled by the 1%, we got nobody but to blame but ourselves.
That's
and
right.
I think, and so
right.
So a boycott, you know, I'll just one last thing quickly. You know, Verizon workers went out on strike, and the strike was settled in 2 weeks. And the reason why the Verizon strike was settled in 2 weeks is that when AT&T tried to con them into saying we're going to get pay the wired workers less than the wireless because wireless is where we're making our money, you could go up to anybody on the picket line, and every one of the people on the picket line knew it was a con, and more importantly, they knew what the con was about. The people in Benton Harbor need to know exactly what Whirlpool's about. They need to know chapter and verse, and they need to know that if administrators don't show up to a school, school goes on. If teachers don't show up, school is over.
That's
you
it.
Need to get people to boycott. And last thing is, when Cesar Chavez was trying to put together the United Farm Workers, he wasn't successful until there was a secondary boycott where people refused to buy table grapes in Los Angeles, San Diego, elsewhere. At that point, you made them pay a price. Right now, they can avoid and ignore everything we say, and they pay no price. As a matter of fact, Judy Elliott, who was the chief academic officer for LAUSD, they just gave her a settlement of $280,000 to get her out of her job, and she went and took another job. These people are living like Versailles under Louis XIV. It's got to come to an end because, as Jefferson said, a flawed man, but you can't have a democracy unless you have an educated electorate. I waited till I was 21 years of age to vote, and I vote for a black comedian named Dick Gregory because he was the only one who wanted out of Vietnam. Who do I vote for this time? Tweedledee or Tweedledum that are both in the pockets of corporations? If we don't want our democracy, that's fine. But if we want to stand up and fight for it, we can fight for it by boycotts or other things that they can't ignore. There has to be specific action. PerDaily.com. Thank you, sir.
Very good, Lena. Very good. Hey, appreciate you. Rosalind, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing, Ros? You got a couple of minutes to say what your heart desires, because we come to a close. You had left us when we called you on, but that's all right. Go right ahead. Say something.
Okay, my computer and telephone went in. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. I want to thank you for everything. We were praying for you in church, for all of us, that we would get media coverage. We would just be inundated with it. From everywhere. We are at war with these people, just like Lenny just said. We need to boycott them. We need to be protesting. And I'm certain they're all fighting with each other. Look at all these dictators that have come down, all the money that they have. But God has given you an incredible anointing. I cannot thank you enough. All of us, wherever we are coming from, they are just, that legal term, screwing us all over. I was listening to your broadcast of September 4th. Ralph, you are an incredible person. Thank you. Thank you for Reverend Pinckney for giving us all a voice to stand up.
Hey, and I just want to say that, you know, that Leonard, you know, Leonard from Los Angeles, too. So what we're trying to do now, we're going to set up this boycott. We're going to see can we start getting in, at least
Reverend,
if we don't get in the schools.
Reverend,
yes.
Ralph here. Understand
Go ahead, Ralph.
Something. Ralph, the boycott of
the schools by the children does not work, because in New York all they did was change the law that they did not tie attendance to funding. They can do that with passing a law. We must boycott the organizations that support this corruption. For example, Snapple, that finances so many right-wing organizations. This is the type of boycott we must do. We must hurt them in their pocket. They don't want our children to learn. It doesn't matter if they go to school. School, public school has millions of dollars of contracts. We must boycott the people with those contracts, because they want our children to fail. They work at our children to fail. Boycotting the school with our children says, oh, you see, they didn't come to school, they didn't learn. No, we must go to school, we must force them to teach, and you have 8,000 possible converts. When they dropped 8,000 from 43,000 to 35,000, those 8,000 teachers should be supporting you, Reverend, for community control. We must pool our resources. We must fight the common enemy, the juggernaut of corporate greed. And I have had my Christmas present over and over again, and it is you, Reverend Pinckney, and the people you bring on, and every week we get another education. This is a Christmas present for me. LynnStewart.org, look her up, the people's lawyer, and now you have the people's pastor. Let us continue to expand this organization into organizations that will have power.
Hey,
Blackberries.
Ralph, here's my goal. My goal is to put all these issues on the table.
Right.
And even if, what we're going to use, we're going to use all our tools. If we can get the students to walk out of the classroom, even though they can get around that, it makes us more powerful. You see, remember,
Reverend, you don't want them walking out, because what they'll do is they'll lock the schools and they won't let them out. You need a boycott. And
okay,
I agree with the gentleman that they will change the law, but let me tell you that parents and teachers and students are so at the present time that a first step is getting them to react to us.
We must talk about this off of the radio, not the strategy off of the air. Because I submit to you, it didn't work in New York.
I want to hear from you, my brother.
Well, hold on.
But in L.A., they get paid per student. So you take all those students out. Like Lenny said, you get retired teachers to be teaching them somewhere else. It's a great idea. And your idea, Ralph, was great, too, where you start boycotting these companies. Because
trust
we have
me.
Bill Gates in the
trust
mix
me.
Here.
We must speak, because I tell you all of the reasons why it won't work. I don't have the time to do it here. But there are so many reasons why it does not work. And let us make it our business to have a real organization where we discuss these issues thoroughly.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely,
deal with that.
Ralph. On that
we
note,
must
Ralph,
win.
Ralph, that's beautiful. But on that note, I got to bring Mary back on so she can have a couple of words, and then we can take it from there. Go ahead, Mary.
All right. Thank you very much. My name is Mary Neal, N-E-A-L. I'm the founder and director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. Please look it up. The issues that I address pertain to everyone, mentally ill or sane, no matter who you are, what race. The issues that I write about pertain to you. And I also want to say one thing I didn't get a chance to, and that is that the Cochran firm fraud is coming to Los Angeles in a big way. One of the county commissioners or city commissioners has asked the Johnny Cochran firm to represent L.A. homeowners in foreclosures against Bank America. Look online for Cochran firm fraud. They have a history of working for the corporations and for police behind their own clients' business.
Very good.
I don't want L.A. homeowners to be victimized by the Johnny Cochran firm. Johnny Cochran has been dead 5 years. He sold his firm before he died to some white people in Alabama, and they now misuse his name and reputation to defraud black people coast to coast. Please look online for Mary Neal, foreclosed L.A. homeowners. It's a warning to you.
All right.
And
listen,
thank you, Reverend Pinckney. Reverend
you're
Pinckney.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But we got to keep moving. We got the right idea here. We got people talking about all the issues that's all across the country. Here in the city of Benton Harbor, we are the very first city in the history of mankind where we have a dictator here in the United States. They call Gaddafi a dictator. They call Hassan a dictator. Everything was a dictator. But we have our very own dictator right here where your vote means nothing, where he's giving away land. He is selling land plots for $1 that's worth about $20,000. He is selling it to Whirlpool, Cornerstone Alliance, and what they're doing now, they're taking over the city. What happened in Benton Harbor eventually going to go across the country. So we, the people, must take a stand. We are the only people in the world, in the United States of America, that has their own personal dictator, but we're fighting them. Our own school system is being destroyed, just like all over the country. But we can stop them. That's a must. But on that note, we have just ran out of time. And I tell you, we have to come up with a strategy now. My goal is to get to L.A., Atlanta, New York. Next year I will be traveling, but I'm going to take my show on the road. So make sure that we enjoy it. On that note, I'm going to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and I'll see you next Sunday where we have more time to talk. God bless y'all, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
Bye. Merry Christmas and goodbye.
Merry Christmas.
God
Merry
bless
Christmas.
You. God bless you.
God bless y'all now. Take
Happy
care now.
Kwanzaa also.
Happy holidays.
Bye right now.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Bye.